I'm going back to Fort Riley. It was nice being in Hawaii for a little bit, but we're going to revisit Fort Riley here and talk about some soil rutting that we research that we did at Fort Riley, Kansas, looking at rutting from turning vehicles, both wheeled and tracked vehicles, and in wet and dry soil conditions. I'd like to recognize co-authors Kun Liu and Kinji Lee from Graduate Students, University of Tennessee, Heidi Howard and Alan Anderson at Searle, and Phil Woodford at Fort Riley, who seems to be involved in a lot of these projects out there. The goal of this effort was to look at rutting, and why are we looking at rutting? Well, vehicle rutting has two aspects. One is that it's used in the past as a measure of vehicle impacts on the terrain, and the second one is that it's important for vehicle trafficability. I'm going to focus a little bit more on rutting characteristics and impacts due to its impact on the terrain as opposed to the trafficability aspects of rutting. And in the past, from previous field experience, we've seen that in field observations, we've seen that turning vehicles have been shown to produce deeper and possibly wider ruts, even though some of the rutting models that we've looked at don't really look at turning vehicles and the ruts formations of turning vehicles. So we wanted to do a fairly extensive field study to look at turning and its influence on rut development. So the objectives were pretty widespread here, was to look at several areas. One is the vehicle type, whether it's tracked or wheeled vehicle, the vehicle weight, heavy or light, vehicle speed, fast or slow, and we'll talk a little bit about that, whether the vehicle is turning or going straight, and the vehicle's soil conditions, wet or dry, and then we looked at also two different soil textures. So we had a couple of treatments and factors to look at in the study, and I'm only going to report on some of those today. So we wanted to look at the influence of that on the soil rut depth and the rut width, which are two different aspects. The vehicles tested were the combat tank, the M1A, which is a heavy tracked vehicle, and then the armored personnel carrier, which would be a lighter tracked vehicle. We used an eight-wheeled Hemet, again, a heavy wheeled vehicle, and then a four-wheeled Humvee, again, a light wheeled vehicle. So that would be the four vehicles that we tested in this study. We did put a vehicle tracking system on the units to, while we were doing the field test, to track the movement of the vehicles to get some of their operating characteristics. We operated the vehicles in a spiral pattern at Fort Riley. Spiral pattern is where you're driving the vehicle straight and then start slowly turning to the right, and then you increase the turn by decreasing the turning radius till the turn gets sharper and sharper until you come to an end. And I'll show you an example of that. We did 16 spirals per vehicle of those four vehicles, so basically operating at two speeds, telling the operator to operate in a fast speed or a slow speed in the soil conditions that they're operating in. Two different soils, two different moisture contents, a wet and a dry, and we repeated the test twice. And that would give us our 16 spirals per vehicle. We tested about 15 to 20 points along the spiral at both the inside track and the outside track of the vehicle. And that gave us about close to 2,000 rut depth and rut width measurements. That's where the graduate students came in. So this would be the operation of a spiral here. Essentially, you're starting at a certain point, you're going straight, and then you start a shallow turn, and then a sharper turn, and a sharper turn. And so these are GPS points of the vehicle as it's operating the spiral. We would then walk down that spiral at different locations, essentially between the tracks, and take measurements along that spiral of rut width and rut depth and other soil conditions. So some of the information that we would start to gather would be the vehicle velocity, again, that's coming from the GPS, the turning radius of the vehicle, and we can get that also from the GPS. The soil rut measurements would be rut width and rut depth, those two characteristics, and that's again from the soil surface. The conditions we were operating in were not bare soil. We had a fair amount of grass on top of it. And then the soil characteristics we measured were drop cone, soil moisture, both gravimetric and TDR, soil texture, and cone penetrometer. So as you can see the ruts up there, and then we're measuring rut width and rut depth, and we're GPSing the location of that measurement, and this again are the wheel tracks, and we use ArcPad to geo-reference all of our measurements and then relate them back to the vehicle operating characteristics. The soil strength conditions consisted of an October test, which was the soil is fairly dry, about 11% moisture content on the average, and in April, next spring, the soil was fairly wet, somewhere around 26 to 30% was the average moisture. These are our two soil textures, a clay upland soil and a loamy upland soil. You can see that in the dry conditions, our drop cone measurements were fairly low, and that's a technique of dropping a cone and seeing how far it penetrates into the soil surface. We were not able to get the cone penetrometer into the ground greater than 1,000 PSI in those conditions. But in the wet conditions, the cone penetrometers was relatively low, about 80 PSI in both of those conditions. So that's characterizing the soil strength in the wet and the dry conditions. Some of the initial observations that I'm going to talk about, one is that in the dry conditions, the soil ruts were fairly minimal. Even though we saw some vegetation loss and removal, basically most of the ruts were in the less than 1 centimeter range. And the exception was the turning M1A, the tank, the heavy combat tank, when it was turning, did form some ruts in those conditions. But in all, most of the rutting was minimal in the dry conditions. We also looked at vehicle speed, which did not vary much for the conditions in the vehicles we were testing. The operator was supposed to get up to a high speed that they deemed was the appropriate operating speed for that area for a high speed maneuver, and the ranges of speeds were not great at all. For example, we did do some work previously with strikers, and the range of the striker speed in the field were much higher than the range of the speeds of these vehicles. Of course, Hemets don't go off-road a lot, and if you were in the Hemet when it was going off-road, you'll understand why. The soil texture differences from our tests were fairly minimal, too. The rut depths and the rut widths in both soils were fairly similar. So what I'm going to concentrate on for the rest of this presentation is what's happening in the wet soil ruts, which is really the important aspect and where the deeper ruts occurred. And I'm combining the speeds, which, like I said, were a minimum range, and the soil texture data is also combined in this future analysis here. So I'm going to show you a series of graphs that will show rut depth or rut width or rut index, and I'll talk about that in the future on this side, and then an inside and outside track, and then we'll have sharp turns, intermediate turns, and essentially going straight. And so there'll be a series of slides I'll show for different vehicles. This is for the APC. We'll see that the rut depth, when the vehicle's turning sharper, is fairly high, so it's forming rut depths three to three and a half centimeters. As you're turning shallower, it's low, and as you're going straight, the rut depth is fairly low. There's a lot of variability. This is a full-size scale test, and there's a lot of variability in the field, but we did take 2,000 measurements, so we can get some statistical differences between those with the standard deviations that we're seeing. There was not too much difference between inside and outside of the track for this test, but you can see a dramatic increase in the rut depth as the vehicle is turning sharper. Now here's rut width for the same vehicle, inside and outside, and we also see that the width of the rut increases as you turn sharper, and this width could be up to 50 centimeters for the track. And so the rut widths are larger for the sharp turns as opposed to the vehicle going straight. Now why is that? And I'm going to show you a video of that. When a tracked vehicle turns, take a look at the track. It will slide laterally one way coming at me. And this video is not playing too much, but if you watch that, and then as it keeps to turning, it will slide back the other way as it slides back that way. And there it keeps sliding, and it keeps sliding, and it keeps sliding, and then finally it picks up. So basically, as a tracked vehicle turns, that track slides one way and back the other way, increasing the width of the rut. And you also know that it's digging in a little bit more. As a weight on that track shoe and that track pad slides one way and the other way, it digs in as opposed to just coming down straight. You also, it's hard to notice that it will also get more slip as it's turning, or a drag, as you saw here. So all those factors come into play with a turning vehicle on the rut width and the rut depth. Now, by multiplying, if we're looking at vehicle impacts, the depth of the rut is important, but the width of the rut is also important. So we've multiplied those together to get a rut index, which is sort of a cumulative impact of that vehicle, where we're combining the width and the depth. And the rut index now, again, which really doesn't have a, we're not trying to quantify this as an area of the rut, but the rut index is much higher for sharp turns as it would be for going straight, almost three times as high. So indicating that there's almost three times as much impact when the vehicle turns as when it goes straight. Now, let's take a look at the M1. We also saw some very similar conditions. The rut depth, again, increased on the inside track. These are much higher values. I'll do a comparison of vehicles later. As the vehicle's turning, as opposed to going straight, not as much influence on the outside tire. And I'm not exactly sure why that is, that situation. But typically, again, the ruts are higher as you're turning sharper as opposed to going straight. And for the rut width, we're seeing the same thing. The widths are larger at a sharp turn as opposed to going straight for both the inside and the outside tracks. And again, the rut index as you turn is higher for the sharp turn as opposed to the vehicle going straight. So turning influences ruts. Now let's look at the wheeled vehicles. We saw a little bit difference here. Here's a Hammett test, and as the vehicle goes straight, you can see that even though there's a lot of variability there, the rut depths were larger as it's going straight as opposed to turning. Now, why would that be? Well, as the vehicle's going straight, essentially you have four tires going over the same point. As the vehicle starts to turn, the rut width increases dramatically for this vehicle. And what's happening is that those tires are separating out and you're getting single passes over the tire. So even though it's increasing the rut width, you're not getting that multiple pass with the four tires over the same point. So you're getting deeper ruts when it's going straight than when it's turning. Now this is only at slower speeds. If we were out there with that Hemet traveling, I believe, at 20 miles per hour or 15 like we did with Strikers, you see a deeper rut when it's turning because of the lateral forces and the shear forces on that rut. But with a Hemet going at slow speeds, you don't see that centrifugal force, you don't see that lateral force, and basically you're moving away from a multi-pass to a single pass type of scenario there. So that's hopefully how we tried to explain that. Even though that situation occurred, the rut index when you're turning sharper is higher than what's going straight because that rut width gets wider and wider for that eight-wheeled vehicle. Now for the Humvee, we saw very little rutting, even in the wet conditions. And I'm just showing you the rut widths are the same trend as for a wheeled of the Hemet vehicle, is that the rut width now increases as you turn sharper as opposed to going straight. So let's take a look a little. I got almost done here. I'm taking a look at the comparison of the vehicles now. This is rut depth for the different vehicles, the M1, the Hemet, the APC, and the Humvee. And you can see that the rut depths of the M1s were much larger, much higher than any of the other vehicles. The rut depths for the Hemets are here, where the rut depth for the APC is actually higher than the Hemet when it's turning sharper. That's the APC and that's the Hemet. But when it's going straight, the rut depth for the Hemet is higher than the APC. So we have a kind of a different scenario. Again, the APC is a tracked vehicle and the Hemet is a wheeled vehicle. The rut depths for the Humvee were all very small. But you still see this trend of a heavier vehicle producing a deeper rut. If you take a look at rut width Now, again, the APC, the M1 is much higher than the other vehicles, but that turning Hemet can produce a very wide rut, 80 centimeters, almost a meter long for one side of the vehicle. And so this is only one track of the vehicle producing a rut width that large, 80 centimeters. And you see this gradual decline in rut width for sharp turns versus rut width when it's going straight. Essentially, this is the width of your tire or your track. So, in summary, what we've looked at was, for the test that we looked at, there wasn't much difference between the speeds and the soils that we evaluated. And the important aspect was the soil rutting was much higher in the wetter soils than the dry soils. That's pretty common knowledge. The tracked vehicles tended to produce much more severe ruts when turning, and I think I explained why. And then the heavy wheeled vehicles produced deeper but narrower ruts when going straight. And again, this is at slow speeds. Stryker, as we've seen in previous studies, is a little bit different from that. It will produce deeper ruts when it's turning at high speeds. And then, I guess in general, heavier vehicles produce more severe ruts. We haven't done a really analysis of the contact pressure, but I don't think contact pressure was a real important aspect in rut formation here. I think it was really a function of the weight of the vehicle. Okay, that's all I have. Any questions? Yes. How?
The Hemet, loaded or not?
Not loaded.
Humvee armored or unarmored?
Unarmored. Chris.
Getting back to the turn of Hemet, you said the width of one rut was 8 centimeters.
80. Yes. Oh, well, yes. The width. Correct.
Is that summing the individual?
That's. In the wet conditions, that 80 centimeters was totally annihilated, meaning I didn't see individual tracks where here's where one track went and here was another track went. It was just totally.
But that was just one side of the vehicle.
Correct, one side of the vehicle. Any other questions?
Good ball,
Thank you.